wanna know my occupation? I get paid to rock the nation.
Rolling.
Hold it now.
On the road this morning in Central Florida. Roland Martin, good morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a blackjack kind of daytime here in Tampa, shooting our TV One show. Then Newport News, Virginia. I'll see you guys tonight for the Office of Human Affairs banquet. Then back to Tampa tomorrow. So, but tell them I need to borrow the company jet.
He's flyjacking for real.
We've had ProPublica on. They are an investigative outfit, a journalism website, and they've done some amazing stories showing disparities in the criminal justice system. Tom, they partnered with the Washington Post this weekend. They had a phenomenal story that showed what happens, the difference between somebody black and somebody white when it comes to the pardon process. Joining us right now is Daphna Linzer. Daphna, good morning.
Good morning.
Daphna, this story is interesting. Here you had a young man, African-American, Clarence Aaron, no prior criminal record, who had an issue when it came to a pardon. But then, of course, you had a white male who had an extensive criminal record, yet he was granted a pardon?
Yeah, in fact, not just pardons, but had his sentence commuted, the white applicant, a guy named Reed Pryor, who's from Iowa. The African-American applicant, Clarence Aaron, really was a symbol of the excesses of the drug war. As you said, this was a guy, no prior criminal record. He was a football star at Southern University when he was 23 years old, got caught up in a drug conspiracy that was centered in Mobile, Alabama. Of all the people involved in the conspiracy, and Clarence Aaron wasn't a buyer, a user, a supplier, a seller, got the stiffest sentence, and not just the stiffest sentence. His was three consecutive life sentences without parole for a very young guy and a first offender.
So this pardon process, so, you know, what's the problem here in terms of, one pardon guy in the Department of Justice, if you will, who has so much power to determine whose name gets sent to the President of the United States?
Exactly. This guy in the pardon office, the pardon attorney, is supposed to be able to serve the president. Is supposed to be able to help the president find, good candidates for forgiveness. This is presidential mercy. That's what it is. That's what it was in the Constitution. That's how the founding fathers saw it. When we did a study and an examination, the first ever of the pardons process, we discovered that actually the pardons office is recommending white applicants by a factor of four. If you are white, your chances of getting a pardon are four times greater than any minority combined. If you're African American, you fare the worst in getting presidential pardon. And that could be a fresh start in life for somebody who's completed a conviction. But for people who are still incarcerated, having your sentence commuted is a really, really enormous thing, especially because there's no more parole in the federal system. Somebody like Clarence Aaron was really close. He had a Republican-appointed judge who was supporting his commutation. He had a Republican-supported U.S. attorney in Mobile, Alabama, supporting his application to get out of jail early. He had a Bush administration White House, lawyers in the Bush administration, the final year they were in office, looking to commute Clarence Aaron's sentence. The pardon attorney and his recommendation left out key information, left out the fact that the U.S. attorney and the judge were supporting his case. 4 years later, he is still in prison.
Obviously, President Obama, Attorney General Eric Holder, I mean, you know, that's under the DOJ. So what do your experts offer to reform this process that clearly isn't fair when it comes to minorities compared to whites?
Right. Well, a couple things happened right after we published the first part of the series on the race disparity. And that is, the Justice Department said that they were going to look into it immediately and start examining the statistics. They have not come forward with results. Members of Congress, including Representative Bobby Scott and others, have sent Holder formal questions asking for an inquiry into the pardons office inner workings. President Obama, interestingly, has not pardoned any people or commuted any sentences since our series came out, in part, I think, because he's interested in having those recommendations from that pardon attorney re-examined, precisely because of these problems. Other people, including Greg Craig, who had been President Obama's first White House counsel, believes that pardon office is, frankly, just too broken to fix. He'd like to see it come out of the pardon's office. He'd like to see the president sign an executive order beginning a new process for review that would be much more favorable to applicants.
Certainly a stunning story. So this young man, Aaron, he's still sitting in prison?
Clarence Aaron is still in prison, even though he could have gotten out 4 years ago.
Wow. Stunning story. Great job by ProPublica. Thanks so much, Daphne.
Thank you.